Last year, generic drugs accounted for almost 80% of all the prescriptions written in the United States, and stores from Walmart to Target have started generic drug programs aimed at lowering costs. But how different are generic drugs from the brand names that they are based on? Are there certain drugs where it may be worth it to pay the higher price? On today's Please Explain, pharmacologist Joe Graydon, the author of a book and website called The People's Pharmacy, will help us understand just what we need to know about buying and taking generic drugs. Welcome to our show, Joe.
Nice to be with you.
And we invite our listeners to join in the conversation. Our number here is 646-829-3985. That's 646-829-3985. Or you can leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. Joe, aren't generic drugs and the brand name drugs the same chemically?
Well, it's interesting. It's kind of like that famous word, it. You know, what do we mean when we say same? What do we mean when we say identical? The Food and Drug Administration has an official definition. They say a generic drug is identical or bioequivalent to a brand name drug in dosage, form, safety, strength, route of administration, quality, performance characteristics, and intended use. So I think most of us would assume, well, identical. But your definition of identical and my definition of identical could be quite different. For example, I would probably say identical means one and the same, or agreeing in every detail. That comes from the Oxford Dictionary. In reality, a generic drug can have completely different fillers, binders, coloring agents, and it can release the active ingredient in a somewhat different way than the brand name drug. So there can be differences. They're not absolutely identical in every respect.
So this is kind of like making distinctions between one aspirin from another. They have different delivery systems, even though they all, when you get down to it, are aspirin.
Yes, the active ingredient is acetylsalicylic acid, but the way in which that aspirin gets into your bloodstream can be different. And we've learned that with an antidepressant called Budeprion XL300. That's a branded generic. That's a little different than most people think of. The actual generic is called Bupropion. The original brand was called Wellbutrin. And it turns out that the generic Budeprion actually releases much faster than the brand name, and that may account for some of the side effects that people have reported, for example, on our website, things like anxiety, jitteriness, insomnia, tremor, nausea, and headache.
So in some cases, it's good to have a delivery system that delivers faster. In other cases, it's not.
Precisely right. I mean, we have what we refer to as long-acting drugs, or XL is the abbreviation that's frequently used. And that long-acting drug is meant to release its ingredients slowly over perhaps 24 hours so that you don't get rapid increases and then rapid declines in the level of the drug.
When did we start seeing generic drugs marketed?
Well, generic drugs have been on the market for decades, but we have seen a dramatic change over the last 20 or 30 years. Back in the 70s, probably 15 to 20% of our medications were available generically. And let's explain what we mean by that term. You've almost always heard of the term Valium. That's the brand name. Hoffman LaRoche was the manufacturer. The generic was diazepam. Prozac, brand name, fluoxetine, the generic ingredient.
Why did they have to have such ugly names?
That's a great question.
Fluoxetine, couldn't they just call it
totally unpronounceable, and you kind of wonder, how in the world did they come up with such a bizarre name? And the answer is that something between the Food and Drug Administration and the drug manufacturer, sometimes they're brilliant, sometimes they're impossible to say. Mm-hmm. But in the last, as you pointed out at the beginning, over the last several years, the generic explosion has really taken over, and now it's about 80% of all the drugs dispensed in pharmacies.
Well, is that because of the Hatch-Waxman Act of 1984?
Well, it's partly that, and it's, of course, because everybody wants to save money. I mean, let's just take a few examples because I think it'll blow your mind. If you were to get a prescription for brand name Prozac filled at your local pharmacy for 3 months, a 90-day supply, it could cost over $600. If you went to a big box discount store, that same 3-month supply of fluoxetine would be $10 for a savings of $590 or a 98% savings, which is huge. There's nothing else in the world of consumer items that has that kind of differential.
So people are taking generic drugs mostly because the brand name drugs are just so expensive?
And because their insurance companies pretty much force them to do so. We now have what's called a tiered system. So if you're on the preferred tier, your copay from the insurance company might be $5 or $10 if you get the preferred generic. If you say, no, I want the brand name, the cost might be as much as $100 or $150 for something that otherwise would be $10. Most people are going to go with the generic.
Well, a drug is developed, and for a certain period of time, there are no generics available.
Correct, and that's usually about 20 years.
So at that point, you either pay the $600 or you don't get the drug.
Well, or your insurance company pays. If there is nothing else that can be substituted for it and your physician says this is the only drug that's appropriate for this particular patient, if you have insurance, then presumably your insurance company will pay the whole number. Or if you don't have insurance, you're going to have to swallow a very big pill, which is often, like I say, 100, 200, sometimes even more.
Don't pharmaceutical companies have certain strategies to extend the life of their patents?
They do, and sometimes they come up with, like I said, longer-acting formulations. Sometimes they do deals with the generic manufacturer to delay the introduction. So there are some ways to extend the patents, but at some point, that all comes to a screeching halt and the generic becomes available. And, you know, for the most part, we all think that's a wonderful thing, except sadly, there is no entity in this country that actually monitors generic drug quality. We now know that 40% of all of our pharmaceuticals are made abroad. 80% of what we call the active pharmaceutical ingredients are now made in countries like China, India, Brazil, Mexico, all around the world.
And you're suggesting that they may not live up to the standard we expect them to?
Well, they're not inspected. I mean, you know, most of these manufacturing plants do not have FDA inspectors. It may be as little as 13% in China last year. And so as a result, it's the honor system, and I don't think we accept the honor system when it comes to things like our restaurants or the elevators we climb into.
Are the brand name drugs more likely to be made in the United States?
Not as much anymore either. I mean, that's the sad thing, is that a lot of the big brand name companies are also going abroad, and even when they're made here, we have problems. I mean, just think back to Johnson & Johnson and all the problems they had with their Tylenol line and a whole bunch of other over-the-counter products. So manufacturing is a problem, whether it's brand name or generic. It's just that some of these small mom-and-pop generic manufacturers in some of these other countries may not be as good about quality control as the brand name companies.
It's my sense that the brand name brands, the prices on brand names, I'll get it out, have gone up in recent years, which would lead to more people wanting generic drugs.
Absolutely. The cost of prescription drugs has skyrocketed in recent years, especially as the companies have been looking at health care reform and some of the other possible things down the road. So they have been jacking up prices at levels that just take our breaths away, which is why, of course, insurance companies, hospitals, other third-party payers, as well as consumers themselves, are looking to generic drugs. I only wish that the FDA was overseeing generic drug quality as we all would like them to, so that we could feel assured such products are 100%.
So you're not opposed to generic drugs, you just would like to see more quality control.
I love generic drugs. I mean, I think generic drugs are fabulous, but I absolutely think there needs to be better quality control. And there are some drugs that have what we call a narrow therapeutic index. You kind of alluded to that. Heart medicines, for example, blood thinners, that switching between brand and generic, or even from one generic to another generic, may pose problems.
What sorts of clinical trials do generic drugs have to go through, or do they have to go through them?
They do not have to go through clinical trials to prove effectiveness. All they have to do is demonstrate that their drugs get into the bloodstream in a comparable way to the brand name drug. And I think that's perfectly fine if the data holds up and is really done correctly. But what we learned with that drug that I mentioned earlier, Wellbutrin versus the generic branded product Budeprion, there is variability. So the FDA actually allows more variability than most of us ever realized.
Are there any cases in which a generic drug can't be produced?
Well, there have been cases where companies have done clinical trials on generic drugs. One that comes to mind is a drug called Maxide for a drug called Diazide, and it became quite successful. They actually had to prove that the generic worked as well as the brand, and they did.
Mm. We have a lot of calls coming in, and people are leaving comments. Phil left this on our show page. He said that my wife was given a prescription for a painkiller following surgery. I'm trying to get this whole thing in my screen here. And it wasn't working. In fact, it made things worse. And it was determined that, I hate computers, by the way. It was determined that she was having an allergic reaction to the cheap binders in the generic capsule. And once she was switched to the name brand, the drug worked as it was supposed to.
Well, that's a perfect example of how a brand name and a generic can differ. The brand can have certain kinds of ingredients in it. The generic can have completely different binders, fillers, and coloring agents, as I mentioned earlier. And so someone may be able to take the brand name without any problems whatsoever, but switch to the generic, they might have an allergic reaction, and that can be a disaster for someone who is highly allergic. Let me give you another example that we have gotten on our website. People who have taken the brand name Keppra, K-E-P-P-R-A, for their seizure control, these are people with epilepsy, have reported they did well for years, and then they got switched to the generic, which is one of those tongue twisters, levetiracetam, and within weeks of being switched, sometimes within days, they had breakthrough seizures. Now, that could be a life-threatening situation if someone were driving down the road at the time they had a seizure. So we can't prove that there's a problem, but we've had enough cases like that that it raises some red flags.
We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll be taking your calls at 646-829-3985. You can leave comments on our show page at WNYC.org. My guest on today's Please Explain is Joe Graydon, author of The People's Pharmacy, which is both a book and a website. And he'll be addressing some of your questions right after this. And we're back with Joe Graydon, author of The People's Pharmacy, also the website The People's Pharmacy, taking your calls at 646-829-3985. Or, as I said, you can leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. And let's take a call from June from Manhattan. Hi, June. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. My question is, Mr. Graydon mentioned that sometimes the fillers are different. And I was under the impression, and I don't know, maybe this is not true, that sometimes they use sugar as a filler. And I'm wondering, are they required to tell you on the insert in the packet what they use as a filler? Because obviously if you're diabetic, you don't want to be ingesting any excess sugar.
Yeah, that's a great point. You probably heard the term sugar pill for a placebo.
Right.
And in point of fact, lactose, which is indeed milk sugar, is not an uncommon binding or filler agent. And so, yes, if you are lactose intolerant, for example, having lactose in your pill could pose real problems. You can ask your pharmacist. If it's not on the leaflet that they provide you, and there's a good possibility it won't be, the pharmacist can check with the manufacturer and let you know what they've used as their binders and fillers.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go now to Jean from Westchester. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm a kidney patient. I've been taking Cozar for a number of years, and then I was switched over to Losartan, I believe. I've seemed to see a change in my statistics in my blood test, but I'm not sure it's directly related to Losartan. Do you have any information about Losartan versus Cozar or any other generics versus Cozaar?
Gene, you've given us a great opportunity to provide some suggestions for how people can use generic drugs safely. And one of the best ways is to keep a track record of whatever condition you're dealing with. So in the case of Cozaar or Losartan, which is a brand versus a generic blood pressure pill, keep track. Keep a diary of your blood pressure. I would measure your blood pressure at least once, if not twice or three times a day, while you're taking the generic, then switch back to the brand, keep track of it that way, and you can do these what we call challenge re-challenge tests, and that would be true for someone with diabetes and checking their blood sugar, or perhaps somebody with cholesterol problems and they're checking, you know, a generic cholesterol-lowering medication like lovastatin versus Mevacor. So one way, keep track of the numbers. Thyroid function is another example. When you go get your thyroid tested, keep track of your TSH levels. But also keep track of subjective reactions. In the case of depression or an antidepressant, keep a diary of how you're feeling, your mood. And then if you get switched to the generic, keep a record of how things change, go back to the brand name, keep a diary, and if you see a consistent trend having problems on the generic, let your physician and pharmacist know and have them report it to the FDA.
Okay.
That sounds great. Thank you very much.
I see signs all around the city advertising that Target now sells generic drugs for $4. What does that mean? All generic drugs can't be $4. Aren't there insurance issues to consider?
Well, there's huge competition in this field, and so whether it's Target or Walmart or almost any of the big pharmacy chains, you will discover that you can get a month's worth of many generic drugs for $4 or three months' worth for $10, which almost defies logic, but yes, that is very common, and I'm going to bet, though I can't prove, that most of the drugs that you're buying for $4 generically are coming from abroad. Now, what does that mean? Well, you know, we already talked about the fact that the Food and Drug Administration is not able to inspect all manufacturing plants abroad. So that's why you need to be vigilant, and if you suspect there are problems, report it to your health care provider and the FDA.
But you also pointed out that many of the name brands are also being manufactured abroad, and we've had a couple of scandals fairly recently. Why, if we can get the generics for so little, do the name brands still cost so much?
That is a great question, Leonard. And I'd say it's a breakdown in the basic laws of economics. Because normally when there's competition, you would expect that the manufacturer of the brand name would reduce their price so that it would be much more competitive and much more attractive. Seemingly, what they do is they increase the price. I mean, so, back to Valium again, it could very well cost you over $200, whereas the generic is, you know, $5 or $10. I don't understand it. If I were a brand name manufacturer, I'd want to reduce my price to be competitive.
A listener left this comment on our show page. I suspect that the pharmacists probably prefer selling brand names, which I assume produce more profits per sale than generics. On the other hand, if they can sell a much larger volume of cheaper generics, then they might do just as well, if not better. I suspect that smaller pharmacies probably prefer filling the costlier and hence more profitable brand name prescriptions.
You know, now that generic drugs are so incredibly inexpensive, like you've already pointed out, $10 for 3 months' supply or even $4 for 30 days' supply, the profit margin is really very slim. It used to be that the markup was such that pharmacists actually made out better on generic drugs in some cases than they did on brand names, but those days seem to be long over.
We go now to Beth from Manhattan. No, Sam. Hi, Sam.
Hi, how you doing?
You want to ask about Lipitor?
Yeah, I have a couple of questions, if you don't mind. Number one, it seems that it's true that Lipitor is becoming cheaper, believe it or not. In some Medicare Part D plans, they're actually the copayment is similar to generics. Is that because there is now a generic for Lipitor, and it's still true that most people are still taking Lipitor because it's been such a great medication? That's my first question.
Well, Lipitor is not available yet in this country generically as atorvastatin. So there, you cannot get a generic version. That will change very soon. The big competition, of course, is simvastatin, Zocor, which did go generic and is now dominating the marketplace because it can be purchased so inexpensively. If you're getting a low cost on your copay for Lipitor, that is probably because your insurance company has cut a very special deal with the manufacturer.
But you're also, we're talking about something else that's happening here, which is that a drug is developed and then a competitor develops a similar drug, slightly different, which is just as effective. And that one can also function as the equivalent of a generic?
Well, this whole notion of what we call Me Too drugs has been very controversial for a very long time. So we now have a handful of statin-type drugs, starting with lovastatin, Mevacor, and then working its way up to Lipitor and then Crestor, and now there are a few others. So, you know, is one better than another? That's what we call comparative effectiveness research, and that is sort of the goal of the future, where we could actually monitor whether or not somebody does better on drug A versus drug B. Right now, for example, I can't tell you that Nexium, which is a pricey prescription acid-suppressing drug, is any better than the over-the-counter Prilosec that you can buy, even house brand Omeprazole. So those opportunities do exist, and that's another way to save a huge amount of money.
We go now to Agnes from New Jersey. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. Yes, my company changed our medical plan. We now have no prescription coverage. So as the cost to me will be out of pocket, I researched the cost of generic versions of Zocor and Synthroid. And the lowest cost I found was at the warehouse club. But I'm wondering what the quality of generics would be at the warehouse club.
Well, you know, that is the exact question that we have been talking about today. So if you're going to get simvastatin at the warehouse club or levothyroxine instead of the Synthroid for your thyroid, I can guarantee you that the price will be dramatically lower.
It is.
The problem is, you know, where was it made and what's the quality? And we can no longer assume that it's perfect. We have to say, well, it's the honor system. We hope it's good. And the best thing that you can do is keep track of your thyroid function, keep track of how you're feeling, keep track of your cholesterol. And if your numbers look exactly the same as they have on the brand name, you're home free and you've saved a lot of money.
Okay, Agnes. But there's another problem, isn't there? You mentioned earlier that not all generics are the same. So if you get a prescription for a generic, then that doesn't mean, and that works well, that doesn't mean you're going to be getting the same generic the next time you go to the pharmacy.
Brilliant point, Leonard. You get kudos for really thinking on your feet. So levothyroxine, which is a thyroid supplement that this woman, Agnes, was taking, there are several manufacturers. And she might do really well on levothyroxine from generic manufacturer A and not realize that the next time she's getting that same prescription filled from generic manufacturer B or C, and it may not work exactly the same way. So that's why it's important for all of the listeners today to be aware of who is actually manufacturing your generic drug, whether it's Teva or Mylan or some other company. And if it's working well, ask your pharmacist, please refill my prescription with the generic made by this particular company.
You can't always get that done. You don't know who they're ordering from that week.
No, you're right. It's a challenge.
A listener says, do many people notice the difference between, say, name brand Claritin, which was once a prescription drug that became an over-the-counter drug, and the generics of it?
Well, you know, that's one of the reasons why our website has become so popular, is people are starting to report, not in the dozens, but in the hundreds and even in the thousands of problems, so that other people can find out where the danger signs or signals lie. So anyone who has had a generic drug problem or would like to check on one can find information at peoplespharmacy.com.
Nancy wrote in, I'm diabetic and use two types of insulin, which is really expensive. Why isn't there any generic insulin?
You know, I wish I had a good answer to that. I don't know.
Because insulin is a natural thing, isn't it? Is that even patentable?
It certainly is, and has been around for decades. A lot of it has to do with the length of action of the insulin, and it may very well be that the brand name companies have just sewed this up.
Aren't there laws that require that a company lists the country of origin of the product?
Well, it's so fascinating, Leonard. I mean, when you buy a pair of shoes or a shirt or a plum in the grocery store, you know where it's coming from. When you pick up a prescription drug or even an over-the-counter medication at your local pharmacy, you have no idea where those ingredients were formulated or where the final product was made.
We go now to Ed from Carroll Gardens in Brooklyn. Hi, Ed. You're on the air.
Hey, Leonard. I was just wondering if Joe wanted to give any information, if he has it, with regard to how much money is currently, what percentage of the money and the effort and the time is being spent by various pharmaceuticals for the creation of generics versus the time and effort and money that's being spent to actually create new drugs. My understanding is that it's a very high number.
Do they even have to do any research to create the generics, Joe, or is it just simply a matter of getting the chemical formula for the active ingredients?
Well, they have to figure out how to mimic, and we've already dealt with that question of how close do they mimic, you know, the brand name. So it has to have the active chemical. Then it can be formulated in various ways with the so-called inactive ingredients. But the generic companies, for the most part, now I won't. This is not a rule anymore because they are starting to get into brand name, not brand name, but they're starting to develop new drugs themselves. But for the most part, generic drug companies do not have to do clinical trials, which can be extraordinarily expensive. So the big brand name companies are the ones that are developing the new drugs for Alzheimer's disease, the better pain relievers, the better anti-inflammatory medications. Generic companies rarely do that, and therefore all of their costs are mostly identified with creating the formulations.
Ruth left this comment. I've had terrible experiences with generic Ambien, months of no sleep. It's my understanding that this may be intentional to encourage the purchase of the name brand, which I can't afford.
No, that's ludicrous. I mean, no generic company would would encourage Ruth or anybody else to go ahead and want to go back to the brand name. But this is not the first time we've heard this. We have heard from dozens and dozens of people that when they were switched from the brand name Ambien to the generic, that they were not getting a good night's sleep. I can't explain why, but if people want to find out those stories, again, they can find them on our website. It is a bit shocking to us.
We have listed on our blog the lowdown of the 10 most popular generic and name brand drugs. And so if you are taking one of them, you might want to check out what Joe has to say. Meanwhile, you can go to his website, The People's Pharmacy, or check out his book called The People's Pharmacy. And Joe Graydon, thank you so much for being with us today on our Please Explain look at generic drugs. We've got lots of calls. There are an awful lot of people who are concerned out there.
Thank you, Leonard, and thank you for even asking the question. It's an important one.